given that we've been here for a little while and it is after lunch and no reflection on the previous speakers, how about you stand up and move around a bit and get the blood. Prevention, absolutely. Well, activity level. It's far healthier to stand up than to sit down all the time. And so just to promote that a little bit, we'll stand up. And if you wish to continue to stand up, that's fine. But for the sake of timing, I'll just keep going. So anyone who wishes to stand, perhaps move to the back, but the others who wish to resume their seating, please do so. I don't have a PowerPoint, so because one, I was perhaps not as organised, but I want to raise a number of issues, some of which have been raised this morning, and clearly presenting quite a different perspective to what we've been hearing about so far. And I put my title as Semantics Matter because during today and also on the forum, we've sort of flipped between health and healthcare as if they're the same thing. Now, clearly they're not, and I want to raise the issue, which has been raised a couple of times this morning, about the importance of having clear messages, the importance of engaging with people, and being clear about what we want to talk about so that community can engage with these debates. And if we're flipping between concepts which are actually quite different, we're not assisting. So my topic of Semantics Matter is around that. How can we be better at engaging people in these discussions and moving the debates forward around the reform agenda? Because even our title, Driving Health Reform, are we there yet? But a lot of the discussion so far today has been about healthcare, or other people might say illness care. And, you know, you can see that there's quite a lot of confusion that we add to the debate by flipping from one to the other. So I'm here to talk from a public health perspective. I'm president of the Public Health Association, who's a member of the Alliance, very supportive of the Alliance, but presenting quite a different perspective to add a different dimension to the discussion. So some of our basic principles I'm sure we share with other organisations here. Universal healthcare, we're a very strong supporter of that. Equity and access, and empowering communities to participate in their health and healthcare, illness care, very supportive. We have a focus on population health and primary healthcare. And we also have a very strong commitment to social determinants of health. So coming from perhaps one end of the spectrum, if you can think of it in that way. And so this session we're talking about what's happened to health reform, and I'd really like to acknowledge Mukesh's really interesting start to this discussion. But we've primarily now been talking about healthcare aspects, and I want to bring us back to public health, primary health care, and health in that sense. Because if you think about that nice table that two of our presenters have used so far, Mukesh was the second, about the, you know, sort of the country ratings and which one's performing better on the other areas. And I don't know if anybody else noticed, but the UK, they had lots of ones, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, really good on health care, quality stuff. But the one down the bottom, which was the number 10, was healthy lives. So why is it that healthcare performs and quality issues, all number one, performing really well, but healthy lives was actually down the bottom of the list? We have to actually think about that in terms of the ratings and what we're talking about as part of our debate. Catherine King this morning called on us to engage in discussions with communities. What do we value? What do we think is important? And how do we engage people in these discussions? And I'd just like to come back to that as part of my discussion, because we need to create a narrative around what we're on about, what are we wanting to do, what is the agenda that we're wanting to push forward in terms of reform, and then that will inform how we talk to the public, how do we talk to the politicians. I understand some discussions are on Thursday, and we're refining that discussion here in this meeting tomorrow, but unfortunately I won't be able to join you for most of that. So, but the narrative is important, the semantics are important, and that's my main point. So what are some of the issues that we've already raised today? And I think we need to have some clear discussion around these issues. You know, universal healthcare and the user pays discussion. You know, how do we want that to go forward? What's the view of the Alliance around that? Are we maximising health or treating illness? And again, having some discussion around that, because we're really talking about an illness care system, but at the same time saying healthcare reform. But that's a confusing term. We know what we're talking about, sort of, but if we're projecting that as part of our narrative, I think we need to be smarter about how we do that. Do we focus on decreasing risk to health, including the addressing social and financial inequities, which we know are some of the primary drivers in terms of poor health? So if we're talking about are we there yet and health reform, well, we're not there yet because those issues have not been dealt with. Are we talking about equity of access to opportunities? And that could be education opportunities, employment opportunities, as well as equity of access to care services. So building that into our discussion, a focus on primary health care and maintaining health as opposed to treatment of disease and getting that balance right. And I think it's been really important, the point made on a couple of occasions this morning about health is a societal good and thus a societal responsibility. And the more we allow health to be focused on individual health status, it becomes an individual responsibility. And if we can really shift that narrative to a societal good, I think we can advance our discussions much more productively. So Jennifer's point about, well, how do we engage with communities on these issues? Certainly that point about valuing societal health, valuing primary health care and public health. Simple things like referring to citizens rather than consumers. You know, citizens evoke societal responsibility, societal engagement. Consumers evoke a financial exchange and usually a one-on-one exchange. And so using the narrative and the semantics in a more appropriate way to reflect the goals that we want to advance. And also, how do we encourage citizens to own health as a societal good? And that issue was really brought home about 18 months, almost 2 years ago, when one of our state governments, who will remain nameless and has been followed by another state government, slashed public health services across their state. You know, Friday night, 20,000 people lost their jobs in public health. What was the public outcry about that? Barely a whimper. You know, it was a major, major change in terms of provision of primary health care, public health services. Barely a whimper from the community. Now, if one community hospital had been closed, there would have been all sorts of outcries, and Tony knows that from trying to adjust some of the hospitals in our own area of Wollongong, of trying to close community hospitals, you get huge furor. But in terms of, you know, 20,000 jobs in public health services, who cares? So, you know, we're clearly not engaged in some of these health reform discussions with the community, and that's a really big challenge for us, a really big challenge. So what are some of the key factors that might help to facilitate dialogue around health and healthcare reform, some of which we've touched on, others we haven't even mentioned yet. One in particular is health literacy. How do we encourage health literacy in the community so people can engage in these discussions? We talk about health literacy in terms of the doctor-patient relationship to some extent. We know that is very poor, but then the complexity of some of the points that we're raising around health reform, literacy of those issues is very, very poor in our communities. Agreement on our key messages so that we're consistent in going out and dialoguing with politicians, community groups, and the general public. Good intelligence. Now, this has been raised by Adam this morning in terms of return on investments in the different sectors. So if we take money from here and put it in there, what's the impact in terms of benefit, societal benefit, particularly from our perspective in the health area? And the other area, a little dearer to our hearts at the moment, is research in this space, when we've got a lot of the research policy decisions going to medical research, and the health aspect has fallen off the agenda, and health care and health services research is part of that bundle that's been falling off the agenda. So just the weighting there becomes critically important. Change through role modelling, and here we can actually look at ourselves a little bit because we're the leaders in this area, and if we don't take leadership, who does? So even simple things like quality of food provided through our institutions, at our events and so on, are we role modelling in those areas? Role modelling in other areas that might confuse health messages. How many people here watch televised football, NRL matches on TV, and so on? A few people? Yeah, Friday night. What are the messages that you hear? You hear alcohol advertising, you hear gambling, and you also, of course, have, if you're watching NRL, the KFC try or no try billboard. And you see more of the KFC ad than you do the try or the no try. All very pervasive. In the Illawarra just recently, Coca-Cola sponsored 800 bicycles for children. Mixed messages there. Nationally, McDonald's support Little Athletics Australia. The mixed messages that are out there confusing the health message are just pervasive. So what are we doing in terms of leadership in those areas? And, of course, the other really biggie that PHA have been quite active in, and I'd really encourage other organisations to be active in, is the whole area of free trade agreements and some of the impacts that they have on pharmaceutical benefit schemes, provision of health services, regulation of health professionals in our country, and so on. So there's a number of sort of big ticket items, as well as, well, let's look at our own organisations and what we're doing, but also just getting clear about our messages of whether it's health, healthcare reform, illness reform, what's the intelligence we've got to underpin those messages, and how we can unite in terms of putting forward a concerted view so that people can relate to that and become engaged in the debate. So I'll leave it at that and welcome questions later.